You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for being here this morning on this, what we call Holiday Sunday. Thank you so much for being here. Last Saturday night, I was, for the most of the night, standing in Nissan Stadium in Nashville, Tennessee, with my wife, Salisa, my daughter, Kiki, and my grandson, Crider, not for a Titan football game. It was the last Saturday in June. But I was there for the final call of Alan Jackson. Can I just say, I was there primarily being an AM guy to make sure that my wife, my daughter, and my grandson did not miss any of the final call. So I went primarily to be the person who went and got the popcorn, the hot dogs, the drinks, and run errands. I stood in line for an hour to buy my grandson and wife a t-shirt. So I wasn't going to see Alan Jackson. I was going to be with three people that I love. It started out with the singers who sung before him. They announced before they came out that it would be eight people who had each won Entertainer of the Year award. Country Music Entertainer of the Year award. And so they all came out. I didn't know a one. But Crider told me they were really, really good. And they each sung one of Alan Jackson's number one hit song. If you're not a country music person, he sings country music, I'm told. And he had 35 songs hit number one on the various country music charts. And I stand for 2 hours when I'm not standing in line to get a Coke, popcorn. And then he actually comes out. Now, there was another guy they said might be there who was also an Entertainer of the Year. And after Mr. Allen had sung for about an hour, this guy, I think his name was George, came out. And they sung two songs together. That was Allen's songs. And then it went back to Alan, and can I just say, for an AM guy, it was really wow. I mean, I couldn't help it. There toward the end, after George quit singing, and I was really getting into this, this AM guy was kind of... Me and my family and 60,000 other people witnessing the final call. And then he did something I was not expecting. I mean, even if you're an AM guy and you like talk radio and you'd rather be watching a Titan football game as hearing Alan Jackson, music has a way of just kind of reeling you in. And the next thing you know, I'm not thinking about popcorn. I'm not thinking about hot dogs. I'm not thinking about another Sprite. I'm into it. And then all of a sudden, unbeknownst to me, he asked me a question in a song. And I'm an Alan Jackson fan now. I think I like country music. And here's what he asked me. Started playing that guitar. And then he said, "Where were you? Yeah. when the world stopped turning, that September day, were you in the yard with your wife and children or working on some stage in L.A.? Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger and fear for your neighbor, or did you just sit down and cry? Did you weep for the children? They lost their dear loved ones. Pray for the ones who don't know. Did you rejoice for the people who walked from the rubble and sobbed for the ones left below? Did you burst out in pride for the red, white, and blue and the heroes who just died doing what they do? Did you look up to heaven for some kind of answer and look at yourself and what really matters? And then he said this, I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God. I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things he gave us. And the greatest is that song took me back to when I was 40 years young. It was a Tuesday, September 11th, 2001. I was in my tractor on the south end of Land Between the Lakes. Salisa was in her tractor, my mom and dad too. We were doing food plots for the Tennessee Valley Authority. When all of a sudden, my radio in my tractor, which was on an AM station, their radios were on FM stations, and all of a sudden, early in the morning, I heard the news. I can still take you back to the place my tractor was in that field. This was before cell phones. We were all in different little fields. And when each of us heard what was being played over the radio and we heard the news, we all brought our tractors out of the fields. And we parked them there at the South Bison Range at LBL. And we got out of our tractors with tears in our eyes. And we hugged. And we cried. We sat on the back of the truck. Pop's now got the radio on the truck. And we're stunned. We can't believe what we're hearing. The emotions are overwhelming to us. And for the first time in my life, before dark, I heard my dad say, "Let's go home." And from the South Buffalo Pen in Land Between the Lakes, we got home just in time to see that second tower fall. And all day long, all we did was watch the TV. And they played it over and over and over and over again. Yes, Alan. I know where I was. I was not in the yard with the kids. I was in a field in south part of LBL just outside the Bison Range. And yes, I sat down and cried. Yes, I prayed to God. Yes. Wow. Can I be honest with you if you don't sense this in me? I was in a stadium with 60,000 other people, and Alan Jackson asked me a personal question. And you know what that song did? Those other 59,990 people, they thought he was asking them too. And we all felt that. Wow. He's just a singer of simple songs. But that simple song that was really sad had an effect on me and reminded me of a moment in my past. And yes, I'm proud of the red, white, and blue. Yes, I had a great time at the concert. But we're not going to analyze, where were you? We've done read our psalm. It's Psalm 13. We're now going to look at a song not written by Alan Jackson, but written by David. We call him King David. This was probably written before he became king. It's in the book of Psalms. There's 150 of those. We're in the first part of the song book. And this song, just as we have different types of music, country, rock, bluegrass, Christian, something called rap, I believe. There were different genres of Hebrew music. There was the lament, which this is. There was the royal psalm. There was the wisdom psalm. There was the thanksgiving song, occasional historical song. Corey assigned me Psalm 13. It's a song of lament. I've been reading it, trying to sing it for weeks. And if I can be honest with you, being an AM guy, when he assigned me this psalm, I've been lamenting ever since. I'm not a singer of sad songs. But this song is extremely sad. Now, you got this picture, right? A psalm is a poem sung to a stringed instrument. Did you catch that? When the New Testament tells us, the church, to sing psalms, you sing songs with stringed instruments. And we all have this picture, or I do, of David. And he's a little feller. And he's stringing, he's plucking that little harp. I can't imagine the joy that brought to his parents when they would see him after chores were finished. He comes in and immediately grabs that harp and begins to play. We have a grandson, Crowder, and Crowder's loving to learn to play a guitar. Maybe some papa's got him a guitar there at the house, and when he comes over, it's there on the couch, and he just picks it up, and he starts strumming, and then he starts singing, and the next thing you know, Mimish has stopped doing what she's doing, and I'm stopping what I'm doing, if you can believe that, and I'm listening. There's just something about music that moves us. So we have a whole book in our Bible, a song book, 150 songs. And David wrote 75 of them. 73 clearly teach that. Two don't have his name on them. But in the New Testament writers, and in this place, the Holy Spirit, tell us they're songs of David. So he wrote half the songs in the book. But did you know a third of the songs in the book are laments? They're not about the Messiah. They're not about thanksgiving. They're not about wisdom. They're not historical narratives. They're laments. Oh, lament means you cry out in sorrow. It's a song where you write down your complaint and you sing it. It's a song where when something's bothering you, you put it into words and you get your harp or a guitar or a piano and you play it and you sing it. This is the boy who's been chosen by God to be king over Israel. And when we get into this song, it doesn't take but a few lines that you want to know, man, you're having a bad day. I think you're having more than a bad day. You're having a bad week. Sounds like maybe a few months. Now, I want to be honest with you. Alan Jackson's song, Where Were You? Oh, drew me right in. I wonder if this song will draw anybody in. Because see, like Alan Jackson, David begins it with a question. But not to me, the audience. A question to God. How long, O Lord? Not why me. Whoa, you see that difference? How long, O Lord? And they're going to have five lines in this first verse, then four lines in the second verse, then three lines in the third verse. So watch what he does masterfully under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as he writes this song and strums on his harp. How long, O Lord? How long will you forget me? Forever? Can you imagine complaining to the God of the universe and complaining to him that he's forgotten you? And how long is he going to forget you? Possibly forever? I mean, he's having a really, really bad moment. Any of you ever been there? Were you like David, feel like God made a promise to you? Maybe it was in marriage. Maybe it was in parenting. Maybe it was in business. Maybe it was in a personal friendship. Maybe it was in church. And then you had that time when you just totally forgot he forgot about you. Now, see, I don't know about you, but I'm getting to the age where I forget. But it's accidental usually if I forget. Matter of fact, I sometimes say, hey, I didn't mean to forget you called me. Sorry. It was accidental. Have you ever been one of those people who somebody forgot you? You know what psychologists tell me? And I've experienced this in counseling. That if you get let down by people who you think should love you and who you respect, if they forget you often enough, you sometimes also believe that God has forgotten you because they've forgotten you. Wow. You ever been there? Let your circumstance make you believe it was God who ultimately forgot you. Now, this happened accidentally, but I want you to know our lead pastor now, Corey, was forgotten one time. This was before cell phones. I don't know if they had landlines back then. But one night, his parents, in two different cars, left Hardin to go to Pizza Hut with some friends. And we got to Pizza Hut. We're sitting in the restaurant at Pizza Hut, getting ready to order. The waitress is asking for our order, and all of a sudden, Salisa turns to me from across the table and says, where's Corey? Well, you brought him. I don't know where he is. She looked at me and said, no, I didn't bring him. I thought you brought him. See, me and one of his friend's dad had left Hardin thinking the kids were riding with Salisa, and we went to Pizza, got us a table. Shows you how long ago it's been, Pizza Hut in Murray. And then when everybody came in and we got our seats, we had forgotten Corey and Brent. So Lisa didn't have to say a word. I'm up out of the chair. I'm in the truck. Sorry, officers. I'm speeding to Hardin. I go downtown. I pull into the driveway, and there's Corey and Brett sitting on the steps beside our chairman of the deacons. I assured Corey and Brett and Brother Herschel, we didn't mean to forget you. I don't know about you, but in this song, I don't hear David believing God accidentally forgot him. He believes God has intentionally forgotten him. And he's asking, how long, oh Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Wow. You ever been somewhere and you just knew you were being ignored? Funny how that person can look at everybody but you. And in your heart of hearts, you didn't believe it was accidental. You knew it was deliberate. Can you imagine being David and believing God was hiding his face from him? See, in Numbers chapter 6, one of the core beliefs of an Israelite person was this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord to cause his face to shine upon you. See, to have the Lord's face looking at you meant you were going to prosper. You were going to be successful. And now David believes, you listen to me? Not he's hiding from God. God's hiding from him. He's not asking why. He just wants to know how long. Are you going to hide from me? How long am I going to have to counsel in my soul? How long am I going to have sorrow all day long? We're not talking about a few moments of some bad news. We're talking about from the time he rises to the time he goes to sleep. Sorrow is over him. It's engulfing him. And he's trying to counsel himself. But God is nowhere to be found. I don't know about you, but I've been raised in the church and I didn't think we're supposed to talk about this kind of stuff. You know what? It's okay to complain to God. And can I tell you something? This wasn't a private song that David wrote just for God. There's a scripture before the song that says, to the choir master, a song of David. It's a song David wanted put out there publicly for all to know. It's okay to express your heart to God because he already knows. So I just want to tell you and be honest with you, I've had those moments. Where are you? And the only reason I'm basing that question is because everything around me looks like he's not here. And how can this be happening in a marriage? How can this be happening in parenting? How can this be happening in work? How can this be happening in church? How can this be happening in our country? How can? And the only conclusion is God's forgotten me. He's hiding his face. David says, my enemy is prevailing over me. How long are you going to let this happen? Now, David doesn't tell us in the subscription, but I believe it's possible, don't this to be true, that this could have been written before he was king because he was promised to be king. And the guy that is the king, God would use his music to soothe him. Saul would be having one of those stressful moments where he was freaking out. All of a sudden, they'd bring little David in. He'd start playing his harp. And the next thing you know, It's all school. And then for Saul's sake, without his armor, he goes down into the valley, and with a sling, he takes down Goliath. And now he's leading Saul's army. And all of a sudden, they're praising you, David, for the 10,000 you've killed, but Saul's just getting praised for 1,000, and now there's jealousy. Oh, it's unreal what jealousy can do in the life of somebody else towards you. And now this guy that he loves, this guy who he's best friends with, his son, is now trying to take his life. And David's wondering if I'll ever see the purpose of God in my life. You ever been there? Felt like you had a promise from God, and now you're wondering, will that promise ever come to pass because of the circumstances of your life? And what you really want to know as a believer is just, how long? How long? If you're there, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do what David did. I want you to tell God about it. Just lay it on the line. Are you ready for this? You know what David says in the second verse? Consider and answer me. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Oh, Lord, my God. Wow. He's now reminding God, who he thinks has forgotten him and hiding his from him. He's reminding God of the relationship he has with him. So it's okay for you to come into the presence of God and remind God who you are. You are his child, and he is your father. And here's what David does. Y'all ready for this? It's going to blow our minds in the Christian church. But he's going to say, consider me. That means, hey, God, look at me. Woo-hoo! I need your attention over here. It's me. See me. Fix your gaze on me. I know you're the sovereign Lord of the universe, and you got a lot of people running around, a lot of things in your attention, but woo-hoo! Right now, I need you. And then he says this, talk to me. Come on, you ever had a relationship with somebody that you're kind of close to and kind of feel like you're being ignored? Yeah? Don't you get in their face? Talk to me. Talk to me. Woohoo! I got a question. How long, oh Lord? And then he tells the Lord how he feels. It's okay to tell the Lord how you feel. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Isn't it amazing how the eyes are the light into the soul of a person? There's been times when I've seen people and I've seen their eyes and I'll say, what's the matter? They'll try to tell me nothing. And they try to act like everything's fine, but here's the one thing they can't change, and that's how their eyes are. Nothing ain't going to work. So here's what David says. God, look into my eyes. They're becoming lifeless. Energize them, refresh them. I feel like this situation is robbing me of my life, and I'm not going to be who I really am. Any of you ever been there? Sure you have. That's why this is in the songbook. And you know what he's worried about? Not only is he not going to survive, but he knows his enemy, possibly Saul, is going to get to say, I prevailed over him. And it's going to look like God's will for his life wasn't true. And then he knows his foes are going to rejoice that this little boy who took down Goliath, this one who slew thousands, he's now shaken. Meaning he's laying in the dirt. Wow. It's okay to tell God how you feel. But when you're telling God how you feel, make sure you're turning to him. Why is David turning to the Lord? Because he doesn't believe his circumstances and the people involved in them are sovereign over his life. He ultimately believes his life is under the sovereignty of God. And while God may not be causing everything that's happening, he knows God must be allowing it or it can't happen. So therefore, God has a purpose for it. And this is why we appeal to God. This is why we cry out to God. And then we go to the last verse. Just three lines, the last two verses. But. I want to be careful how I say this. I love buts in the Bible. I mean, there's times when you're just reading scripture and it's kind of getting going a certain direction and it's not good. And then there's but. And it contrasts, it changes. My favorite but in the Bible is Ephesians 2:4. In the first three verses, Paul tells us that we were dead in sin, trespasses, and sins caused us to be spiritually dead, separated from God. We're under the power of Satan, and we're walking, looking just like everybody else. We were sinners. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love by which he loved us, made us alive in Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Wow, glory to God. Amen. Now watch this. I love this but. In the midst of him lamenting, in the midst of him complaining, in the midst of him bellyaching, in the midst of him telling God like it is, from his viewpoint, after he cries out to God, look at me, listen to me, refresh my eyes. Here's what he said, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. Woo, glory. Do you know what anchored him through this really horrible time in his life? What anchored him was his trust in God. One of my newest friends who is becoming a theologian, when he understood that I was going to be assigned Psalm chapter 13, he's been studying himself, and he sent me this little note. He said, don't forget to tell the congregation, hope without trust is hopeless. Pretty good for a new theologian. His name's Chuck Baker. Yeah, hope without trust is hopeless. David says, but I have, what? Trusted. Past tense activity that still has ongoing results. In your what? Steadfast love. It's the Hebrew word hesed, from where we get this thought of God's covenant loyalty, God's loving kindness, God's great mercy. I mean, can I just be honest with you? What is your trust in? In the midst of that marriage situation, that child situation, that work situation, that community situation, the country situation that's causing you to lament. Is it the person? or is it God and his covenant loyalty to you? Do you understand that this word means God is devoted to you, not because of what you do, not because of you, who you are, but because of who he is and what he's done? And you know where David's faith was? David's faith was in God. And that's why he's running to God. That's why he's crying out to God. Why do we not cry out to God? Why do we call everybody else first? Because we don't really trust him. Why? But I have trusted in your steadfast love. And watch this. I shall rejoice in your what? Salvation. Wow. Here's the guy who's lamenting, crying out to God, wanting to know how long. But here's what he says. My trust is in you, and I shall rejoice in your salvation. Now, can we fast forward quickly? I just got 3 minutes. Do you rejoice in God's salvation continually? That he put his son on a cross in your place, bearing your sin, paying your price, so that you are now right with God. And this salvation means God's allowing what's happening in your life to move you further and further away from the image of Adam and more into the image of Jesus Christ. And if I can say this, if it was not for what you were going through, you would not know all of those things in your life that's not like Christ. Wow. So what are we going to do? We're going to rejoice in his salvation. And then, last thing, I'm going to sing, not to you. There's a change. He's letting the audience know now, not God, that I'm going to sing to the Lord, for he has dealt bountifully with me. Wow. How many of you are singing to the Lord? Because he's dealt bountifully. Mm-mm-mm. I don't know about you, but right now, I just think we're to sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Come on, get on your feet, let's sing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You are not dismissed. You are sent. Have a great, great rest of the day. God bless.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.